Hi, I'm from Fraunhofer Center for Molecular Biotechnology. I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about what we do at our facility and how that relates to seed production and seed requirements there. Fraunhofer Center for Molecular Biotechnology is a nonprofit R&D company. We conduct translational research in the area of pharmaceutical biotechnology to advance products for the prevention, diagnosis, and treatment of infectious diseases and autoimmune disorders. Our core technology is focused on using launch vectors to produce high levels of target protein in non-genetically modified plant material, more specifically Nicotiana benthamiana. The advantages of this technology is that it's fast, relatively inexpensive, and free from materials of animal origin. Our technology has been validated by the successful completion of a few clinical trials. We're using a wild-type Nicotiana benthamiana in the majority of our research at the center. It is a close relative of tobacco, and it's native to Australia. It's considered to be a model organism for plant biotechnology because of its susceptibility to a wide range of plant pathogens. However, despite its popularity in the scientific community, seed's not commercially available for this plant. So we act as a manufacturer of seed in-house for our facility for both R&D and pilot plant purposes. Our R&D facility consists of laboratory space, several plant growth rooms, and a room dedicated to plant-related experimentation and seed production. In this slide, you can see two of our plant growth rooms. Additionally, we have a 12,000 square foot GMP pilot plant facility. In all the plant growth areas, Nicotiana benthamiana is grown hydroponically under controlled environmental conditions. Our goal as a manufacturer of seed for the facility is to produce enough seed to fulfill the requirements in all of our growth areas in R&D and pilot plant. Additionally, we want to produce seed that's of good quality, which for us means seed that germinates well and produces robust seedlings. When the Center for Molecular Biotechnology opened in 2001, a lot of the plant growth areas that exist now didn't exist then, so demand for seed was much lower. Early seed production efforts were trial and error, small scale, and were located in a room that served multiple functions. Because of that, the footprint for seed production area was small, and the plants were pollen bagged to produce cross-pollination with other species being evaluated at the time. These plants experienced low light levels, low airflow, uncontrolled environmental conditions, and suboptimal irrigation methods. As activity at the center ramped up, we moved seed production to a new location, allowing for improvement in parental plant conditions. Light levels were increased, pollen bags were no longer needed, we had more options for nutrient delivery, and we could grow more plants at one time. Once again, our goal was to produce a good quality seed, and our studies as well as literature has shown that seeds of larger size and larger weight germinate better. One of the most significant parameters that we could provide to the plants in location 2 versus location 1 was greater light levels. We combined that with a greater photoperiod for a tenfold increase in daily light integral. Additionally, we experimented with automated watering systems, first a recirculating ebb flow system, and then we moved to a drip irrigation system, so we were able to provide fresh nutrient solution to the plants on each watering cycle. Temperature and relative humidity were comparable in both locations, and lastly, we purchased an automated sieve, which was much more efficient and accurate than manual sieving, especially because we were yielding larger quantities of seed. Plants in location 1 were very limited in size because of the pollen bag. However, plants grown in location 2 could reach a size that they would normally achieve in their natural Australian habitat, which is about 1 meter tall. Literature supports the correlation between above ground biomass and seed weight, with larger plants producing larger seeds. In addition to the increase in DLI, we noticed that one of the other key factors in increasing desirable traits in our seed was the irrigation method. In this graph, we're looking at average seed yield per plant based on both location and irrigation method, with drip irrigation in location 2 proving to be far better setup than hand watering in location 1. But even moving from location 1 to location 2, we doubled our average seed yield per plant, which gave us a lot of flexibility in selecting the desirable seeds in our harvest. After we harvest our seed, we sieve it, and this graph gives you an example of what our seed size distribution was based on, again, location and irrigation method. If you remember, one of our goals was to have better germination and larger seeds germinate better. So we want most of our seed to be in this range. And when we moved from location 1 to location 2, we saw a shift in seed size from 500 microns, increased 500 microns, and we saw a decrease in 355 micron seed. So we were able to achieve greater seed size. Along the same lines, we saw a shift, not as significant, but a shift in the least and seed weight from location 1 to location 2. So we did have another desirable trait increased. And lastly, like I mentioned, we do post-harvest germination testing on our seed, and our studies have shown that seed in the larger sizes of 500 and 425 microns germinated better than seed in the 355 micron range. Because we were achieving larger yields, we decided that we could discard seed in this range. And if you remember the second graph between seed size distribution, most of our seed was in the 500 and 425 range anyway. So we weren't taking a huge loss by discarding seed in this range. Over the years, we've changed our seed production methods in a big way in the center and have yielded positive results in both quantity and quality of the seed that we produce. We've concluded that higher light levels, a longer photo period, and drip irrigation were a winning combination for future seed production runs. However, we're always looking for ways to improve. So in the future, we're going to be experimenting with both nutrient content and concentration. And we also recognize that there's a need for optimization in the seed harvest process. We've seen a 5-fold increase in the 13 years of seed production in yields. However, we could increase that even further if we reduce loss of seed during the harvest process. So that's going to be the focus of our next study. Any questions?
You said the plants grow about a meter tall.
Mm-hmm. Well, they actually grow about a meter tall and wide, but they're fairly consistent in size when we grow these seeds. We start them in the plug tray. We select the most robust seedlings and transplant. So they're all about the same size when they start. And this is a 4-month process. So by the time they would reach a size where we see any variability, we've already gone a couple months into it. And so it'd be difficult to down select at that point, but it's an option for us as well to save some space. It is something we've noticed that if we give them more space, we reduce seed loss during harvest because the branches tend to tangle together. And if you've seen in this picture, the seeds are in like these little, they're like in a little cup. So whenever you pull those branches apart, you lose exponential amount of seed during the harvest process. So if we grow them farther apart, then we have less seed loss during harvest.
You mentioned that in the first location you have to bag your plants for seed, and in the second location you didn't have to. Do these plants naturally cross, or they self-pollinate?
They're self-pollinating, but cross-pollination could occur if there are other species grown in the same area.
Which part of this plant they produce the pharmaceutical active ingredients?
It's in the leaf tissue. The stem tissue does not typically produce the proteins that we're looking for. So in our regular production, we're looking for a greater leaf to stem mass because the proteins are produced in the leaf tissue.
Then this plant cannot vegetatively propagated?
We can do that. However, we're doing in our production facility, we're growing in R&D 4,800 plants a week, and in pilot plant quite a few more. So we really need great quantities of seed to keep up with our production levels, and vegetative reproduction would take too long, I think.
I have two questions. How big are the pots that you're going to be planting? And two, do you ever notice the correlation between seed set and pot size?
Actually, that is one of the things that we've changed along, you know, the years. We're doing a 10-inch pot right now. We were using an 8-inch pot, and we increased the size of the pot mostly for stability purposes, because as these plants got larger, they're very top-heavy and they tended to fall over a little bit. We'd have to stabilize them, so we moved up to the pot size for that reason alone. And we also made other changes at the time, so it's difficult to tell if the increase in seed yields we saw were due to pot size or the other factors.
Thank you.